This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Dan Hurley. For over a century, Hamilton, Ohio was a major manufacturing city. Paper mills, safe companies, automobile parts manufacturers, and more. But beginning in the 1960s, those factories began closing one by one, transforming Hamilton into the classic Midwestern Rust Belt city. Many in metropolitan Cincinnati know little about Hamilton and have little reason to visit. As a result, the incredible efforts Hamilton has made to find a new role and new identity in the last decade have gone largely unnoticed. Dan Hurley recently spoke to Hamilton City Manager Joshua Smith and the Executive Director of Infrastructure in Hamilton, Jim Logan, about Hamilton's revitalization story and the city's utilization of green energy to drive its economy.
Joshua Smith, Jim Logan, welcome to Cincinnati Edition. It's really good to have you here. One of the things that really sets Hamilton apart that I don't think a lot of people know about still, even though there's been publicity, and Lord knows you know that I have paid attention to it, but because I'm fascinated by it, is the hydroelectric plant that you built at the Meldahl Dam down on the Ohio River. Now, you know, people may think of hydroelectric being out in the West with big, huge dams. So, Jim, you're the head of infrastructure. Tell me a little bit about what this structure actually is. What did you build down there?
So we took an existing dam that was already in place and built a dam directly next to it. So it's the Captain Anthony Locks Dam, and we installed the largest run-of-the-river hydroelectric facility on the Ohio. It's about a 105-megawatt plant, which provides electricity for about 558,000 homes. It's operated by Hamilton, but we do that on behalf of 47 other communities in the state of Ohio.
Because other communities get to share some of the electric coming out of this plant? Is that the point?
That's correct.
Wow. Okay. And how does the electricity get from, I mean, I know it's a, sort of a simplistic question, but how does the electricity get from the Meldahl plant to Hamilton? Did you have to build your own lines?
So we have a line that ties into the PJM grid. And essentially what we do is we track the amount of electricity we put onto the grid, and then we look at what we take off the grid and balance it that way. Okay. At the end of the day, we don't have a direct source or a direct line that goes directly there. Very theoretically, the electrons go where they kind of want to go.
That's right. So, Joshua, with this new hydroelectric plant that has come online, I think we do need to clarify, one of the reasons you could do this is that Hamilton still owns its own electric system, right?
Correct.
You own the utility. It's city-owned, which a lot of cities don't own their utilities. So you were able to do that. But what does this mean for residents, for example? What good does it do them?
I think for residents and businesses both, it first and foremost lets them know that we are concerned about the environment, that even though we are concerned about cost, that this is a very efficient way to provide electric service to them. Almost 65% of the households in Hamilton have non-carbon emitting power being utilized today, because not only do we have Meldahl, we also have a second hydro in Greenup. Further upriver that came online in 1982. What other people don't truly know is that we also have a very small stake in New York, correct?
Correct.
With
NYPA, NYPA.
So what's that mean? Who's that powering?
That is, it's actually a dam on the Niagara, and it's providing power to Hamilton. We've had that contract in place for over 20 years. I know that.
So this is a long-running commitment of Hamilton to sort of be out front on power production and green production, right? I mean, this
Absolutely.
Is not – Joshua, you've been there, what, about a decade now?
8 years.
8 years. So this predates you. It's not just something – takes a long time to build those plants, right? but – so this is a commitment of Hamilton. So 65% of the houses in effect are getting green.
Correct.
What about on the economic development side? How do you use this as a tool for economic development?
We use it every day. When we are recruiting companies – and if you look at any corporate financial reporting right now, they talk about their commitment to the environment. And when we can sit at the table just recently with a German auto company that we met with in Atlanta, and we were going through the reasons why they should be in Hamilton, I felt they weren't even paying attention up until the point we got to our hydros and the fact that we could certify that 100% of the power that they consumed would be green. And that certainly caught their attention. And a lot of it depends on the company that you're talking to. The ones that are more attuned to that are going to be more interested. But it is something that we have noticed Influx, it's wholly owned by Procter & Gamble, that's in Hamilton, Ohio, is really big into the fact that we have this. ThyssenKrupp Bilstein, which employs about 900 people, which is a German conglomerate that produces shock absorbers for Teslas and Mercedes. This is a big deal to them. So it certainly helps us retain companies. It certainly is helping us as we recruit companies. Matter of fact, we're going to have a job announcement probably come out in the next 60 days publicly. And but for having the green energy, I don't think they would have chosen Hamilton.
So companies may have an interest. Do some of those companies, you've seemed to have had some real good luck in recruiting some German-based companies. Are they encouraged legally to produce green? Do they have requirements?
They do. I think the German federal government actually requires a certain amount of the power that's consumed to be green power by certain target dates. And I think, depending again where you're from, but Europe certainly seems to be more into the green power than maybe domestic companies would be currently. But yes.
Jim, on infrastructure, so we've been talking about the electric grid, in effect. Are there other things that Hamilton is doing to make sure that the infrastructure is there if a company might be interested in coming? I know you've been able to attract a number of communications companies, information technology companies, and communications technology companies. That involves some infrastructure as well, right?
Correct. And we do a lot on the infrastructure side. So specifically right now in town, the company that Joshua is alluding to that should be announcing here in the next month or so, we're actually moving load centers across the city right now. So we're building out new circuits to accommodate that. And we've also are looking at putting in new substations. And so we're constantly investing into our infrastructure. Reliability is really a large concern of ours, and that's another it's a great selling point for us for economic development. Out of 2,000 utilities across the country, we are among the top 60 with an APPA designation for being a diamond provider in the electric business. So we can not only guarantee a green power, but reliable.
So it means, I mean, that's the thing about hydro, that river is going to flow all the time. You know, whether it's sunshines or not, the river is going to produce electricity. But on the other side, Joshua, when you're recruiting companies, and this is a controversy in a lot of cities, including Cincinnati, and that is the way they attract businesses is by giving tax rebates. Are you able to use this as somewhat to offset the need to offer tax rebates, or do you still have to do that as well?
Every economic development prospect has unique needs. We try to do a holistic evaluation of how many jobs they're bringing, what their payroll looks like, what type of capital investment is coming in with a project, what their utility needs may be, and we try to evaluate and give them a deal that brings them to Hamilton, but at the same time pencils out for us, meaning sometimes we will give an incentive on like a job creation tax credit, or we'll rebate something back to them. And it's simple math. We can once we know how many employees they're going to have and what they pay in payroll, you know, I can tell council, you know, the payback is 2 or 3 years based on that evaluation. But we certainly do use our utilities as an economic development tool. And several of the larger companies in particular that would have very significant utility bills, we have the lowest natural gas rate in the state of Ohio since we also own our own natural gas utility, which is very significant for us. But we do things on the electric side, the water side, the sewer side. We are actually the only city in Ohio that owns and operates all four primary utilities.
So predictability as well as you can guarantee utility rates going forward gives you a leverage that a place like Cincinnati just doesn't have, for example. Not to be critical, just
sure on the utility side. Obviously, I always look to Cincinnati. Cincinnati, you know, being the big kid on the block, so to speak, in this part of Ohio, they have the amenities that attract the young workforce. So we often look to Cincinnati to see what they're doing, and we try to, you know, cherry pick the best things that they're working on and replicate those in Hamilton. I love Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a great city. And
so on job creation side, I know, like you were mentioning, ThyssenKrupp, Bilstein, how many employees there?
About 900.
And those are all new employees once they moved in, right? They have a presence there before?
They did. When I first arrived in Hamilton, they had about 150 employees.
Okay, so they've ramped up quite a bit. Barclaycard is there. How many employees do they have?
They currently are about 600, but by the economic development they have with the state of Ohio, they should be at about 1,500 in a year and a half or so.
And one of the things right in the middle of downtown is the old Elver Bierman store, which people may actually really know. And when I started going up there, it was dark. It is now StarTech. So how many employees there?
StarTech right now has about 500 employees in that building, but it's more than StarTech. Fort Hamilton Kettering has a significant presence in that building now. Alexander's Deli, it's a great sandwich shop that actually partners with a sandwich shop in downtown Cincinnati. They've been doing very, very well. And there's an art gallery in there. So it was one of those things where we had 160,000 square foot empty department store, and we've worked very hard to bring it back to life.
Yeah, and now when you drive in, if it's in the wintertime and it's before light, that building is lit up. You know, it's really become sort of a symbol of the downtown. Speaking of downtown development, there's been a lot of things that you've been working on in downtown housing. I mean, that's just the case in Cincinnati, it's the case in Hamilton. I know it's the case all over the country. People want to move back to walkable communities. So, Jim, what are some of the things that are happening in downtown Hamilton in terms of bringing residents back?
So, again, it's a lot about the amenities right now for us. And so getting breweries in place and places that people want to visit, parks. But also for infrastructure, we're kind of setting the stage for the future on Main Street right now. We're replacing 100-year-old Main and really preparing that area for the growth that we're expecting to see over the next few years. And so we have some major traffic concerns right now, and our citizens have been very patient, but we're trying to get out of their way. So as we continue to develop, we're in a position to do so.
You're the man with the yellow cones. Okay,
I
we won't
am.
Go there. So, Joshua, there's a number of residential developments in downtown. I know Art Space, Mercantile Lofts, you've really taken some old buildings and transformed them. How are they doing in terms of being rented up?
They are, to my knowledge, 100% occupied. I meet with the developers on a very frequent basis. So you have 29 units at the historic Mercantile Lofts. You have 42 units at Art Space. And in the next 60 days, we'll be opening 102 new units at the Markham. The Markham is located across from our downtown Marriott, and developer Jim Cohen with CMC Properties is just done a tremendous job. Not only has he been able to pre-lease well ahead of where he has on his other projects at this site, he also has 90% of the commercial space on the first floor pre-leased. Tano's, which is a restaurant in Loveland, will be the anchor restaurant there. Casual Pint, that's in they have a location in Mason and Loveland and Clifton. They'll be opening their fourth Ohio location there. There's an Aveda salon going in by a local couple.
Who's moving in? Who are the residents that are moving downtown?
You know, that's an interesting question, because I always ask him when he gives me his pre-lease numbers where he's at. They're coming from a wide range of places. He has nurses that are coming from the hospitals that have exploded on the I-75 corridor. He has teachers, both local and outside of the city of Hamilton. He has empty nesters who want to downsize. It's a really eclectic mix of people that are moving in. It's not really like one segment of people.
And consequently, viable over a long period of time. You're not dependent on one particular type of person to move in. You raised the whole thing about the Markham residential part, but that's tied to what's happening on the riverfront. And every city that has water wants to develop its riverfront. Water features. People want to be close to the water. That's just the way it is. So your riverfront, You're doing a lot. What's going on the riverfront?
First of all, we hired a firm out of Brooklyn, New York, to come in and redo our waterfront master plan, which was Barbara Wilkes, who happens to be a Hamilton native and has a firm that she's worked on waterfront projects from St. Petersburg, Florida, to London, England, and is just brilliant. So the plan was recently approved by City Council. The first significant investment was with the amphitheater in Markham Park in our downtown, which was about a $6 million investment. And that has turned out to be one of the best things that we've done in Hamilton in recent memory. We just had our Wimmy Diddle Country Music Festival. Easily 5,000 people a day came down to attend. The people that were performing are highly recognized right now on country music charts. And it's a free festival. You don't have to pay to use it. And that's something that we've really focused on is how do we provide amenities to not only our residents, but also to people that want to visit Hamilton at no cost. And we're trying to link all this together. The second phase of the Riverfront Master Plan really is how do we activate the river itself? And we're looking at modifying the low-level dams. We want stand-up paddleboarders. We want kayakers. We want people to actually—
What do you mean modify the low-level dams? Because those can be dangerous. Over the years, there have been accidents there.
Absolutely. And by modifying them, if you think about what they did in Dayton on the same river, on the Great Miami River, where they modified them, where it creates, in effect, a whitewater river course, but it makes it safer because you don't have the turn of the water, so to speak, when it comes over the dam that can be dangerous.
Okay. So does that mean you have to lower the dams themselves? Are you going to have to rebuild the dams? This is Jim's question, I think.
he's the professional engineer of the group.
We're looking at very serious modifications. Okay. There's no way around it.
Okay. So you're trying to activate the river itself as well as the property that lines the riverfront. And that's sort of connecting up. If people don't know or they maybe know fragments of Hamilton, that'll connect into the Fitton Center.
Absolutely.
And make that more of a continuous development there along that river?
It will. And this is maybe a small segue from the riverfront, but when you think about the assets that are close to the river in Hamilton, I think a lot of people in greater Cincinnati don't realize what we have. We have the Pyramid Hill Sculpture Park, which is probably the preeminent sculpture park in the United States. We have the Fitton Center for Creative Arts, which has done just amazing things in the last couple years in terms of programming under Ian, who's a new executive director under his leadership. We have Markham Park. We have the music festival. Several Cincinnati publications have said that our outdoor amphitheater is the best outdoor music venue in greater Cincinnati. And we are working incredibly hard at, as Jim said earlier, providing those amenities, the dog parks downtown. We have two new breweries in the downtown in the last couple of years that have been doing incredibly well. We're very close to announcing a third one. We're really trying to make sure that we are offering a mix to people that range from young professionals to retirees, because we're being greedy. We want all of them, and we want them to be in downtown Hamilton.
Seems like a bottomless amount of craft beer can be consumed in this part of the country anyway. Maybe it is a national phenomenon, but anyway, so you do have this strategy. I want to get to a couple of other things that I'm aware of, and then I'm sure there's things I'm not aware of. And one is the incubator you have, Hamilton Mill. Some really exciting stuff coming out of there. And, it's one of the incubators, accelerators. We talk about them on this show all the time. They're really important to changing the economic structure.
Absolutely. Our incubator, as you know, are working with the University of Cincinnati, a lot of the different startups in greater Cincinnati in terms of water in our pipeline H2O. They are doing some really incredible work that not only will impact the region, but will impact the world. We also have other companies outside of the pipeline H2O that are doing very cool things. And I think that when you actually go back and look at Hamilton's history, we certainly were a city that was built upon by entrepreneurs. And we're trying to recapture that spirit and make sure that we are providing the necessary funding, but also the infrastructure to them so they can actually go out and develop new technologies, develop new ways to do things.
So and when you say H2O, what's that? Is that a particular company?
Pipeline H2O is actually, it's a joint venture between the University of Cincinnati, some of the startups in Cincinnati, Centrifuge in particular, we work with closely on this, and then our incubator.
Okay.
And it's all focused on water technology.
Okay. So probably part of that whole confluence effort to work on water technology.
Yes.
and bringing technology and privatizing that. I know that at one point there was some experimentation with small hydro dams that might then be sold to third world countries, where we're not talking about the big investment that Hamilton made into a major hydro plant, but we're talking about some things that could really change life in a village someplace. Is that still going on, Jim?
It is. So we're still working alongside a company named KW River, and their whole idea is to develop a small hydro dam that it affixes to a low head dam. And essentially, you capture the energy, reduce the churn, and it makes it a safe dam rather than a dangerous one, but also produces electricity in a very efficient way. They've given us a small prototype, and we're working with them to figure out how we can get it placed in the Great Miami River. And then also, because we own an operator in electric utility, interconnecting with us is a very easy process. So it's a good fit.
So another one of those tie-ins that, you know, what's happening locally really makes a difference in terms of innovation, startups, and all of that sort of thing.
I mean, the history of our dams, when you think about Henry Ford coming to Hamilton in 1918 and actually reactivating a hydro dam that was in place in the late 1800s, mm-hmm. as he built a Ford factory in the north side of Hamilton. I mean, we have such a rich history with that, and not only from an industrial perspective, but just also from a very practical perspective. I mean, what made Hamilton an industrial giant in the early 1900s was the utilities, the fact that we could power things that other cities just couldn't power. And we're really trying to focus our efforts on how do we actually recapture that. And as we turn into, you know, as a post-industrial city, I still think there's plenty of manufacturing to be done in the United States, and we really want to be on the forefront of that.
A lot of advanced manufacturing still takes a lot of power.
Yes, it does.
Maybe doesn't quite employ quite as many people, but it takes a lot of power. Another project, and I have no idea exactly where this stands. I know that at one point talking to Joshua, we were talking about what was happening at the old Champion paper plant, which shut down in 2012 or thereabouts. And sort of a plan for how to reuse that, which was out of the box as far as I could figure out. Where do we stand on that, and what is the hope for that project?
Well, the hope is that you will see shovels in the ground this September. So the project is the largest indoor sports complex in North America, paired with the second largest convention center space in Greater Cincinnati, with a 200-plus room hotel. It would be about a 1 million square foot redevelopment. Just last week, the state of Ohio announced that they awarded us state historic tax credits for the project. We've already received federal historic tax credits for the project. We're looking at about $160 million cost when you look at the entire capital stack. But I think of all the projects in the 8 years that I've been in Hamilton, this is by far the most significant ones in terms of revitalizing the community.
So when you say the largest indoor sports complex, what's going to go in there?
Everything from pickleball to rock climbing to lacrosse to field hockey to soccer, basketball, volleyball, baseball, football, all indoors.
Is there a model for this anyplace else, or are you
There is. So the person that is doing it, his name is Sam Byler. Sam Byler was the owner of Auntie Anne's Pretzels until he sold it maybe about 6-7 years ago. And after he sold Auntie Anne's Pretzels, he retired at an early age and said quickly, in his mid-40s, became incredibly bored and built his first indoor sports complex just outside of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. They've been in operations now for 5 years, very successful, and they are currently the largest indoor sports complex in North America. The one in Hamilton would actually be larger than the one he built outside of Lancaster.
So the building itself, it can handle these kinds of sports. I have no idea. I've never been in the building. I don't know what the structure is in terms of space, in terms of ceiling, in terms of girders or anything else. Is it going to be able to handle all that?
So what we asked him to do very early on was to retain as much of the historic fabric as he could. So you will see a lot of the exterior walls. When you drive down the street and look, it's going to look like the old Champion paper mill probably looked in the 1890s. Mm-hmm. But think about everything behind those walls as being brand new.
Okay.
So they will, like, the roofs will have to come off, and they'll have to raise the ceiling heights. They will have to obviously put in modern infrastructure. But the walls itself, because of the historic tax credits, will have to be preserved.
And then the hotel that you mentioned, is that going to be a new structure?
It'll be built in one of the old mills. The mill that's actually on the Great Miami River will house a 200-room hotel, and the former administration building will house a 20-room boutique hotel.
Well, We're out of time, but I got to say that every time I talk to Joshua about Hamilton, and Jim, I want to thank you for being here today as well. I learned something new, and it's really exciting to see what you're doing to take a community that fell on some hard times and is finding a new place, a new identity, a new role. So thank you very much for being here today. Good luck with all your projects, and I encourage people to go to Hamilton and explore for yourself.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dan Hurley talked with Hamilton City Manager Joshua Smith and Executive Director of Infrastructure Jim Logan. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Our assistant producer was Selena Reeder. Today's technical director was Josh Elstro. Our intern is Layla Shakui. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik filling in for Dan Hurley. Listen for Here and Now, coming up next.